Carlos got sick. I'm just kidding. So my good buddy, Pastor Carlos Kaltuk, he's going to come up and share the word with you guys about discipleship. So we're going to give him the cool applause as he comes up, all right?
You know, I was sitting there. I'm like, how can I go after Danny? There's only one Danny in the world. There's only one Danny. But I think it's good because if there was more than one Danny, we'd be in trouble. So, yeah, there's more than one Danny would be in trouble. My name is Pastor Carlos. I'm one of the pastors at Calvary Chapel of Philadelphia. Our senior pastor is Pastor Joe Foch. I actually know, I'm very good friends with one of your longtime pastors here, Pastor Brian Kelly. He's a good friend of mine, and I'm so honored to be able to be here and to share with you guys God's Word. And your pastor, Zeddy, is just such a beautiful man, beautiful spiritually and beautiful physically. He's a great guy. I love Zeddy. And thank you so much for welcoming us to Kampala. We're just so excited to be able to be here with you guys. And we're really looking forward to what God is doing here, what he's going to do on Saturday. You know, it's just been such a blessing to be able to be part of the Speaking Louder team and helping organize the outreach on Saturday. And man, are you guys pumped? Are you excited? I'm really excited. So anyway, like my brother Matt Schuler said, we give greetings from our home church in Philadelphia. Pastor Joe sends his greetings. He wishes he could be here. Maybe one day he'll come and share the word with you guys. But before we move on, let's start in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for all that you're doing here at Calvary Chapel Kampala today on this Thursday, the 11th of January, 2018. Lord, I thank you, God, that before the foundation of the world, you knew this day. Lord, you knew that we were all going to be here in this room. And Lord, we ask, God, that you would continue to speak to us, Lord, by your Spirit. Thank you, God, for the time of worship and praise to you. Thank you, Lord, for the time in your word this morning. And we just want to continue, Lord. We want more of you, Father. Lord, we recognize, Lord, in us dwells no good thing, Lord. And without you, we can do nothing. So I pray, Father, that you would just take me out of the way, Lord, and that you would just speak clearly to all of us, Lord, to our hearts, God, that you would just remove distractions, that you would remove the cares of the day, the things that we're thinking about, the things, Lord, that can distract us from what your voice is saying, Lord, what your Spirit is saying to us, Lord, this morning, God, and this day. So we pray that you would just give us a heart that's open to receive all that you would have to us, God. And Lord, we welcome you in this place. Thank you, Lord, for already being here. And we look forward to all that you're going to continue to do, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. You're worthy to be praised, Lord. The name of Jesus is the name above all names. Lord, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is King. And Lord, you are worthy of all praise, of all honor. And Lord, certainly you're worthy of our lives, Lord. We want to give them to you as a living sacrifice, Lord, obedient to your word. So continue, Lord, to speak to us today, Lord. Father, we thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Danny gave me the topic of discipleship to talk about with you guys. And I'm honored to do that. And as I was thinking about, you know, discipleship and how do we make disciples, if we're all leaders, then certainly God has called us to be disciple makers. And he's called us to, you know, we have an influence of people around us. And certainly we want to represent Jesus and we want to disciple them as the Lord leads so that they could grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. So as I was thinking about, you know, how do we make disciples, I think before we even talk about discipleship, before we can apply strategies on how to make disciples and how to grow believers in Christ, we need to take a step back and we need to look at what does the scripture say a disciple really is, right? We need to make sure that we're not confused on what disciple is, on what disciple making is, because if our view of discipleship is off, right? If it's not accurate, then it's going to fall short in the end, right? It's kind of like, you know, I have a team of 15 people from Calvary Chapel, Philadelphia. We've been serving with Calvary Chapel and Tebe the last week, We've been helping their medical ministry on the islands. We were in Ngombe there. And there's a lot of building going on there with Calvary Chapel Entebbe. They're building a new medical clinic, thanks to Speaking Louder and Jeremy. And, you know, the foundation, when you build a foundation, you take a lot of time to make sure that it's true, right? You want to make sure that it's flat. You guys have your way to do it. You put the stake on the ground. You have the strings. You take time to make sure it's true, because you know if it's a little bit off, once you start building, maybe the first level looks okay. It's all right. Once you get to the second level, the third level, then you could see it's not right, right? The building is flawed. So in the same sense, when we think about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus and how to be disciple makers, we want to make sure that we know what the Bible actually says a disciple is supposed to be. Amen? So what does the Bible say a true disciple is? And I think, you know, there's no better place to go than Jesus and his disciples, right? Because Jesus called out 12 people and he made them his disciples. So I want to look today on how Jesus interacted with his disciples, the things that he did with them. So we know how Jesus wants us to be, right? Perfect example. Instead of me just telling you what I think a disciple is, let's look at God's word and let God's word define what a disciple is and how to make disciples, okay? So we're going to start in Mark chapter 1 if you have your Bibles. We're just going to be in Mark for a little bit. I'm going to read a couple verses to you. Mark chapter 1. Verse 17, actually, we'll start in verse 16. It says, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Verse 17 says this, and Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Go to Mark chapter 3, two chapters over. Mark chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. 13 says, and he went up on the mountain, and he called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. Verse 14 says this, and he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. Get that? Verse 14 says, he appointed 12, whom he also called apostles, so that they may be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. And lastly, for right now, Mark chapter 4, verse 33 and 34 says this, and with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. Verse 34 says this, he did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. So we see here, first off, that to be a disciple simply means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Hopefully most of you know that. A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus, in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, it says, he called to him and he said, he called to them and he said, follow me, right? And notice what he says after that is, I will make you become fishers of men. Now, Jesus, as he chose the 12 apostles, his disciples, he was choosing them because they were going to carry a message out into the whole world, right? You guys remember what Matthew chapter 28 says at the end? Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples, right? Baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go into the world and make disciples. And that's what the disciples were going to do. That's what the 12 apostles were going to do. And you think, you know, if I had a message that I wanted to send out to the whole world, like the greatest message ever, who would be the 12 people that I would pick? If you had a message that you wanted to send out across the whole world, not just Kampala, not just Uganda, worldwide, you wanted to get this message across, and you had to pick a team of 12 people, who would that team be? I guarantee you, it wouldn't be some of the guys that Jesus chose as his disciples, right? Think about his group that he had representing him, right? He had fishermen, people that were low class in the society. They weren't very well educated. They didn't know that much, but he called them. He had tax collectors, right? People that were working for the man, working for the government, working for Rome. The Jews hated tax collectors, right? Because It represented the fact that they had to answer to someone, that there was a nation that was ruling over them. They had, you know, in that group was a group of zealots, right, that wanted to overthrow the government. They were like causing problems. You know, they could have been sent to jail at any time, causing controversy. But these were the people that Jesus chose, because notice, Jesus says, follow me and you're going to continue to be the same. That would be bad. But he says, follow me and what? He says, I will make you become fishers of men. See, when we follow Jesus, when we're his disciples, we're not going to remain the same. We shouldn't remain the same. We're supposed to become who he wants us to be. And I think it's very important to note, when we are his disciples, when we follow Jesus, when we follow his teachings, when we learn from him, we shouldn't stay the same, right? When you look at your life today and you think about how you were before you were saved, hopefully you should look and say, ah, I'm different, right? I've been growing in sanctification. I've been growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm not who I was. We know, you know, we're not who we're going to be. We're going to continue to grow and grow and mature as believers. But we should look back and say, Jesus is changing me. He's making me to become who he wants us to be. So that's the first thing I think we need to take note of, that being a disciple is being someone who is being conformed into the image of Christ. So discipleship is being conformed into the person of Jesus. Jesus knew who they were. He wasn't surprised that they were fishermen or that they were zealots or that they were tax collectors. He knew exactly who they were, and he also knew who they were to become, right? He knew that as they walked with him and learned from him, and as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they would be charging, right? These guys were going to ultimately, all of them except for one, give their very lives for Christ, for this message. As we move on, Mark chapter 3, verse 14. So, first of all, being a disciple means he's calling us and we're following him. Mark chapter 3, verse 14 says this, and he appointed the 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him. Right? If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you need to be with him. You need to be learning from him. These guys, when they became disciples, they followed him, right? They left their nets. They left their tax collecting tables. They left their starting revolutions. And what happened? They followed Jesus. They literally followed Jesus around, right, for 3 years. But even more importantly, they listened to what he said and they applied it to their lives. So one of the things about being a disciple means that you're going to be with him. You're going to be with him. So how are we with him? You know, Jesus is not here physically. We can't be his disciples in a physical sense where we're looking for Jesus to follow around and be there. But he's left us something, lots of details on what he said, right? He's left us his word, right? So he knew that we were going to be here today, and that as Christians, as his disciples, we want to learn the things that he said. We want to learn the way that he lived, the way that he loved, the way that he cared for people. And, you know, he's not here physically, but he's left us an example in his word. Are we with him in his word? You know, the 12 disciples were with him physically, but we can be with him in a sense by being in his word. See, being a disciple means you're learning the things that Jesus taught, right? And you're not just learning the things that he taught, but you're applying them to your life. It's one thing to listen and say, oh, that's a good message, you know, the things that Jesus said, that's really good. And then walk away from church or walk away from the time that you have in his word and just continue to live the life that you're living. But a disciple, a true disciple, it's not just hearing the words of Christ, but she's applying those words, the things that we read in his word, to their lives and making changes, right? That's how the disciples in the New Testament were changed. They weren't the same because they listened to Jesus' teaching and they applied it to their lives and they began to walk in that way. You guys catching me? You understand? See, we did this this message during lunchtime because we know that if you're tempted to fall asleep, your stomach is going to be gurgling and it's going to keep you up, right? So it's very specific planning here. In the first session, we knew that Danny would hold your attention. My session might be a little different. I'm not as funny as Danny. I don't have good stories. But I have God's word. That's where the power comes from, right? So, we need to be with him, just like the disciples are with him. How are we with him? We're with him in his word. We're with him in prayer. We're with him as we silently just listen to his voice, have his spirit commune in our hearts like Danny was talking about. And we should read his word so that we can be discipled in it, right? So we can learn how to follow Jesus. God's word is a discipleship class. I know here at Calvary Chapel in Kampala, you have Bible school, right? You have an extension of the Calvary Chapel Bible. Is there anyone here who's going to that Bible school? Anybody? One? Nice. They're probably all in school. Two. Okay. Three. You guys are just scared to raise your hands. All right. So there's many of you here. God's word, what do you study when you're at school? You're studying God's word because that is your discipleship class. That is how God is going to make us his disciples. When we learn the words that Jesus said and when we apply them to our lives. Let's continue on. Mark chapter 4. Verse 34 says this, he did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Jesus, he spoke in parables to the people, to all the crowds that were gathered together to hear his word, but he knew their hearts weren't right, right? They wanted to try to catch him so that they could get him arrested. He knew people were just, some of them were just not interested, but separately to his disciples, he interpreted those parables. He spoke the truth and he revealed his desire to them. And then after that, he sent them out. Jesus's interaction with his disciples was very important because he wanted to give his disciples his heart. He wanted to demonstrate his heart before he even sent them out. As we are raising up disciples, as we are disciples ourselves, before God sends us out, he wants us to learn his heart, right? And what better way to learn God's heart than being in his word? See, we can't go out and declare a message if we don't know the one who's giving that message, right? You need to know the one who's giving the message. You need to know his heart behind the message before you can actually declare it with power and truth. You know, Jesus, he gave the Sermon on the Mount, right? Early on in Matthew 3, 4, 5, 6. And then after he gave the Sermon on the Mount where his disciples were listening, they were taking notes, they were, you know, understanding Jesus' heart, then Jesus sent them out two by two, right? He didn't send them before. He gave them the Sermon on the Mount, and then he sent them out. When we're close with Jesus, when we're understanding his heart, when we're with him, when he reveals himself to us, we become more and more like him. And then when we do that, he has the freedom to reveal himself more and more to us. And sometimes he'll tell us hard things, right? When you look at Jesus's interaction with his disciples, it wasn't all just fun and games. It wasn't all just, you know, him saying, I love you guys. You're doing such a great job. You know, you're going to be great. No, sometimes he had to rebuke them, right? Look at Peter. In one moment, Peter is saying, Jesus, you know, you're the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And, you know, Jesus says, wow, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my spirit has revealed that to you. But in the very next, you know, point, Peter's saying, you know, far be it from you to die on the cross. That's not going to happen to you. And what does Jesus do? He rebukes him, right? Turn away from me, Satan, right? Get away. And so Jesus, because the disciples were with him and because they knew that Jesus loved him, was able to say hard things to them. He was able to say things that he could only say because they were with him. They were following after him. You know, another example is when the disciples, after Jesus fed the 4,000, after he fed the 5,000, Jesus goes into this whole thing about the leaven of the Pharisees. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Watch out for them. He tells them all about what it means. And then it says the disciples were confused, like, oh no, we forgot the bread. What are we going to do? How are we going to get bread? And Jesus rebukes them again. He says, how are you guys concerned about bread? You know, you saw what I just did. You heard my message. And now you're thinking about bread. Are you so far off, right? But Jesus could say those hard things to them because they were with him. And they knew that Jesus loved him. Are we ourselves staying close to Jesus in his word? Are we staying close to him in prayer? Are we reading the things that he says and applying those things to our lives? Or are we just going through the motions, you know, going to church, even in church, in ministry, and just doing those things because we've done it before? Or are we actually reading and desiring to apply his word every single day? So what I'm saying is, you know, this is different than the way some people read the Bible. Some people read the Bible because they want to find an inspiring verse for each day, right? They just kind of turn pages, like, God speak to me through a verse. You know, they do the, all right, I don't know where I'm going to read today. I'm just going to close my eyes and just open it up and put my finger down. And God, and sometimes God does speak that way because he's gracious to us, right? He's gracious. And I'm not saying God's word doesn't inspire. It should inspire. It is inspired, right? But what I'm calling for is a systematic approach where we day by day read God's word and say, Jesus, I'm your disciple. I want to learn from you. Help me to read it and apply it and live for you every day. That's what I'm saying. That's what the disciples did, right? And that's what a true disciple is. It's someone who's learning from Jesus, studying his word every day, and then not just walking away from it, but praying about how to apply that very thing to their life. And this is a day by day, month by month, year by year thing, right? We're never going to reach a point where it's like, I don't need God's word anymore. I'm good. If that's you today, you're not good because you're filled with pride because you think you're good. You're not. We're never going to come to the place where we don't need God's word and we don't need his Holy Spirit to transform us more into the image of Christ. Amen? We need to do that every day. And so what I'm saying is this is a deliberate method, you know, it's a deliberate method, you know, to learn what Jesus wants us to know and therefore to become who he wants to make us. Remember that verse? Follow me, and I will make you to become, and they're fishers of men. If we follow him, if we learn his word, if we apply it to our lives, then he will make us to become who he wants us to be. And, you know, as a whole, he wants us to be light bearers, right? He wants us to be givers of the gospel. He wants us to be disciple makers. But, you know, he wants us to be other things, too, that individually is different. Right? The Bible says that God has gifted us individually different giftings, and he will make us to become those things as we seek his face. You know, I think one of the questions that we should ask ourselves is, am I reading the Bible to be inspired by a random verse, or am I reading it to learn and apply those things to my life? Now, I'm not saying, like I said, we shouldn't be inspired. We should. And I think we should. We look for those things, and, you know, God will do that. A verse will come out and it'll just be like, whoa, I've never seen that thing in that verse before. I never applied it this way. But if we're just reading the Bible to be inspired and have random, you know, inspirations, they don't come every day, right? Maybe you're waiting in between months for that bomb to drop, or it's like, God, you revealed yourself to me 3 months ago with that one verse, and you know, I haven't heard from you. Are we reading God's word? You are hearing from him. Are we reading God's word to be inspired or to learn and apply it to our lives? You know, because the thing is this, while we wait for those moments of inspiration, those flashpoints, those fireworks to go off, while we wait for those moments, are we inspired by his daily word, the things that he speaks to us on a daily basis, right? Because the Christian life, it's not always high top. It's not always those mountaintop experiences, right? It's not always feeling the Holy Ghost goosebumps. Sometimes you're going to go through very difficult situations in your life, right? I'm not naive. I know I've been through them. And I know probably you guys here, even right now, some of you are in the middle of it, right? And if we're just looking for that feeling or for those goosebumps, we're going to miss the thing that God has for us. But God's word is there to direct us, to guide us, to teach us how to be his disciples in the valleys when things are difficult, when you lose your job, when your wife has cancer, when your son or daughter died. He's there. He's there. Just like he's there on those high top and mountain experiences. He's there throughout it all. But if we're just looking for the next feeling, we're going to be in trouble. Because a true disciple is one who daily, systematically, methodically will read God's word and pray and say, Lord, I want to live for you each day. I want to apply. Help me to learn to live more like you. And, you know, he doesn't stop there as we're with him. Before he sends us out, just like before he sends the disciples out, he doesn't leave us alone. Last verse, go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Before Jesus ascended, he says something to his disciples that is very powerful. Jesus says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, Jesus doesn't leave us to our own strength, right? He doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't say, all right, disciples, you've been with me for 3 years. Now you understand I had to come and die so that your sins can be forgiven. Take this message, go across the world, have fun, you're going to do great, go for it. He doesn't do that. He says, before you do anything, stay here in Jerusalem, right? Stay here in Jerusalem because you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Jesus makes it a point to tell his disciples, you can't do any of this on your own. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You need his comfort. You need his teaching. You need his directing. You need his indwelling power. So as his disciples, just like those 12, Jesus fills us with his Spirit to equip us for the work that he has us to do, right? As disciples, before we're sent out, he wants to fill us with his Spirit. He'll do that as we get saved, right? The Holy Spirit indwells us. But he wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day, right? Paul says in Ephesians, be ye being filled, right? Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, because that's where the power of God comes from. That's where we're going to be comforted. That's where we're going to have strength. That's where, you know, God is going to take away our fears and give us boldness. It comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where we're going to be able to teach the word with authority, because it's the Holy Spirit living within us. And so he wants to make us clear that we need to rely upon the Holy Spirit, right? Romans chapter 8, verse 4. You guys, sorry, I forgot to give you guys that one. But you guys should know this one. Romans chapter 8, verse 4 says this. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Paul says we should be walking according to the Spirit. And then, of course, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says this, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. We want to walk in the Spirit, right? If we don't want to live a life in the flesh, if we don't want to live a life that's constantly being failing, and going back to the sins of old, Paul says, walk in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The Bible indicates time and time again, especially the New Testament, we cannot live the Christian life without the work of the Holy Spirit, without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, right? Jesus will say in the book of John, without me, you can do what? Nothing. Without me, you can do what? Without me, you can do what?
Nothing.
Yes. He didn't say, without me, you'll be great. No. Without me, You can do nothing in your own strength. It's nothing. God hates pride. He hates it. He doesn't want us to think that we got this. We can do this. No. Without Him, without the power of the Spirit working in our lives, we can do nothing. So, you know, as we want to disciple others, as we're thinking about, okay, this is what a true disciple is. This is how Jesus, you know, raised His disciples. This is the things that He did. How should we then think about discipleship? Well, I think those that we're going to disciple, we have to show them what a disciple really is. And that's basically applying the things that we just talked about today. We need to tell them that a true disciple is a follower of Jesus, right? When you're a disciple, it's because Jesus calls us to follow Him, because He calls us to be with Him, to spend time with Him. He calls us to be close to Him, right? Because He'll reveal truth to us in His Word. Being a disciple, you know, the things that we should share with others is listening to His teaching, applying His Word to our lives, right? It means being filled with the Holy Spirit so that He could send us out to do His work. It means becoming who He wants us to become. That's what a true disciple is. So, you know, God is going to give us people that we have some sphere of influence over. And I think, you know, we should constantly be praying about, Lord, who in my life do You have for me to speak into, for me to encourage, for me to help disciple in Your Word? Is there someone around me that I can encourage to be more in love with You, that I can encourage to be Your disciple, to walk in Your ways? So we should constantly be praying about, Lord, who is it that You would have for me? Not because we're something great, no, but because we can bless others as we point them to Jesus, right? And sometimes it's not always the people that you think it's going to be. Like, just, you know, like Jesus picking those 12 disciples. It wasn't, you know, the best group of people to spread the word out across the world. They had issues. They had problems, you know? And maybe, you know, in your own life, God's like, I want you to talk to that person. I want you to bring them in. I want you to teach them. And you're like, well, I don't know about that person. Can you really use that person, Lord? Far be it from us to tell God who He can use and who He can't use, right? He's using us. He's filled us. He saved us. He's working in us. If He can work in me, He can work in anybody. Let those people stay close to you, just like those disciples were close to Jesus. Let them into your life. Don't just meet with them, you know, okay, Tuesday at 12 o'clock, we're going to meet. We'll meet in my office, or we'll meet for coffee, and we'll go through this book, and that's it. Right? I'll see you next Tuesday, same time, same place. Let them into your life. Let them see how you deal with difficult situations, right? Let them see how you're in the Word, how you apply the Word to your life. Let them see how you raise your kids. Let them see how you love your wife, pastors, leaders. Let them see how you treat your family, your kids. And hopefully all those ways are the way that Jesus taught us to do it, right? Let them into your life so that you can use those situations to teach them. Let them see how you deal with stress, right? When things are difficult, let them be a part of your life. Now, I'm not saying they have to sleep in your house and they're going to follow behind you, you know, for 3 years like the disciples in the New Testament. I'm not saying that. There's a time and a place for that. Different things, you know, I understand. You need time with your wife. You need time with your kids. You just need to be by yourself. I get like that, you know. I just need to be alone with the Lord. But what I'm saying is, don't let the opposite thing happen where they can't really see you. You know, sometimes as pastors, where people think, pastor, that's the pastor. I can't really talk to him. He just teaches us on Sunday, and, you know, I don't want to, you know, then he does his thing. I just see him on Sunday. No, let's be approachable and available so that we can talk with people, and then they can see what God is doing in our lives, right? And pastors, if that's you, make it a point to do that. Make it a point for people to know that they can approach you and talk to you, and you can pray with them, and you can let them into your life a little bit. The other thing is, you know, give them your teaching, give them God's word, God's heart before you send them out, just like Jesus did on the Sermon on the Mount. He gave them his heart. He gave them his teaching so that they could understand why they were doing what they were going to do. We need to understand God's word. The people that we're discipling, they need to understand it. They need to understand God's heart before we send them out to go do evangelism or something. They need to learn it. Now, you know, we're always constantly going to be learning. I'm not saying wait 3 years before you share the gospel. What I'm saying is make sure that they're getting God's word so they can understand God's heart, so they could do God's will, right? Amen? So, you know, as we think about discipleship, we think about disciple makers, I just think in my own life, Lord, before I can even disciple others, before I can even, you know, talk to them about what a disciple is, I want to make sure that my heart is where it needs to be, right? I want to make sure that I am a disciple. Sure, I'm a believer, I'm saved, I teach the word, but I would be foolish, I would be very naive to say, I got all this down. No. I want to make sure that in my own life, I'm reading God's word and applying it so that I can learn. That I'm not just reading for some flash of inspiration here or there. You know, I'm not just going to church so that I could have a certain feeling, but I'm listening to God's word. And I'm praying and saying, Lord, transform me as I apply these things to my life. Transform me. I don't want to just read it and go on because I think I have it. Even if I know the verse, I've read it 1,000 times. Lord, how does that look on my life today? How can I apply that to my life today, the 11th of January, 2018? And I guarantee you, when you pray that way, when you speak to the Lord that way, when you seek his will, when you ask him those things, he will reveal himself to you and you'll learn and you'll be changed and he will make you to become all the things that God has for you. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, just for this very brief glance into what it means to be a disciple, into how you interacted, Lord, the things that you did with your disciples, and certainly the things you want to do in our lives, God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here, maybe you're just challenging them, Lord, about their time in your word. Lord, maybe they're coming from a place that a couple years ago they loved your word. They chewed on your word. They desired it, Lord, more than their own earthly food. But Lord, maybe things have grown cold and they're looking just for little bits of inspiration or for that feeling, Lord. And Lord, maybe sin has crept into their lives and you seem distant, Lord. I pray, God, that you would give them again, Lord, light that fire in their hearts for your word. Lord, for your word, because they know that your word is truth, Lord. They know that your word is what you will use to draw us close to you, Lord. It's your word that's going to get us through those difficult times. It's your word that's going to get us through those valleys. It's your word that's going to be with us during the high points, the mountaintops. And Lord, every single day in between, it's your word that will guide us and direct us, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would put in our hearts a renewed desire, a renewed joy to be in your word, Lord. And if we don't understand it, to pray and ask you to reveal yourself by your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to be true disciples day by day, month by month, year by year, Lord, to read your word, to think about it, Lord, to apply it to our lives, and to be transformed into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.